Matthew Quick's debut novel turned film, Silver Linings Playbook, was about a young man with bipolar disorder. Matthew's new book has characters wrestling with possibly budding mental health issues, but it's hard to tell because they're teens. Are they inflamed with passions or about to crash? And is the student who seems to be flaming out actually saving herself? Matthew knows this group well. He's a former teacher. Every Exquisite Thing is his fourth YA novel, sort of a catcher in the rye in praise of nonconformity. But only to a point. It also features a fictional author and a fictional book, one that, like Catcher, speaks to teens, but in ways the author never intended. And by the way, some of the topics the teens explore may come up in our conversation, mental health and sexuality, as Matthew Quick joins us from the studios of WUNC in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so how much is this about Catcher in the Rye?
I taught Catcher in the Rye for 7 years when I was a high school English teacher, and I love Salinger, and, you know, subconsciously I'm sure he's influencing me. But really, the story came out of publishing a book of mine called Forgive Me, Leonard Peacock, which is in a pretty intense book about a young man who takes a gun to school, mm-hmm. intent on killing his best friend and then himself. And it's definitely a story about mental health. It's a story about schools, and many teenagers wrote to me and poured their hearts out. You know, I got letters saying, you know, this book saved my life, but I need to know what happens to Leonard next, and I need to know what this means in the book. And it was very overwhelming, and I started to wonder about the author's responsibility, especially when writing back to kids that were sometimes 14, 15, 16 years old. How much did I owe them?
So are you, in fact, Nigel Booker, the author of the Bubblegum Reaper book, which these kids in your new book are obsessed with, and who pulls his book when it becomes fabulously successful because he's so nervous about that responsibility to his young readers? Is that you?
No, there are many differences between myself and Nigel. I don't welcome fans into my home, and I put up pretty strong boundaries, primarily for mental health reasons, often kind of bewildered about how do I protect my own mental health, how do I protect my own personal boundaries, but also acknowledge them as human beings. And what I see is that you know, there's so many people out there that are hurting and their needs are not being met, and I hope that literature is a way to get the job done to a point. Booker was kind of a way for me to explore the concept, if you will.
Well, and there's stories within stories within stories, because Booker, your fictional author, who may have whiffs of, you know, some of the experience you've had, he writes his book, The Bubblegum Reaper, based on some of his own personal experiences when he was young. These kids that become obsessed with him and his book become sleuths, you know, about his life and how the book came to be. He introduces Nanette, who's a high schooler who's straight-jacketed by the expectations of her parents and her school that she be a star soccer player, that she toe the line and go to college. And he introduces her to Alex, who's one of his fans. Alex, we soon figure out, seems to be a little bit unhinging. The Silver Linings Playbook was about mental health. How do you come to that issue?
Very personally, actually. You know, I'm somebody who has dealt with depression and anxiety for my entire life, but I never talked about it until I wrote the Silver Linings Playbook. Mm-hmm. And I kind of tricked myself into writing this book that I thought was about football and father-son relationships. But surprise, you know, subconsciously, I was writing a book about mental health. And you know, my way of dealing with depression, anxiety in high school was repression. Much like Nanette, like I tried to be this perfect kid. I didn't talk about my feelings. I pushed them down. I did what I was supposed to do. And even when into my adult years, when I was teaching high school English, I became this kind of character. You know, my students used to call me Q, and it felt very much like every time I walked into the school, which is very much a school like Nanette attends, I put on this mask and I try to toe the party line. And, you know, I would tell kids, like, it's really important to get a high SAT score, like, even though I didn't believe that that was true. And I got very sick from doing that. It was something that I did to get tenure, to fit into a community. And as a writer, I discovered I was finally able to tell the truth in my books in the way that I wasn't allowed to do in my personal life. And that was really freeing. And so, you know, Nanette gets this message. She kind of figures it out at 18. You know, she figures out this secret that I didn't figure out until I was 30, which was you don't have to do what everybody wants you to do.
But the pull on kids today is, you know, to be that kid who writes the perfect essay, who does the perfect community service, who, you know, has the, you know, is the perfect athlete so that schools, I mean, actually, did you ever come across kids who, as happens with your character Nanette, her father, who's an investor of some kind, invested in her personal portfolio something like $100 every time she made a goal?
That was fiction. There's nobody I met, but I could definitely see that happening in the school where I taught.
Well, we understand Nanette. Alex is a little harder to understand what you're trying to say here, because he also seems to have his heart in the right place. He was a kid who was bullied, but then when he gets older, he realizes that his strength can protect him, and he becomes what he thinks is the protector of kids who are getting bullied. But he gets in trouble for going too far. His anger goes too far. He's writing poetry about overthrowing some of these expectations. But then it's you start to think, well, wait a second, is this a kid we're cheering for or we're worried about?
I wanted there to be polar opposites for Nanette. You know, on the one hand, she has, you know, this society that tells her if you're a good girl, you go to college and, you know, you'll become, you know, the American woman that everyone's supposed to be. And on the other hand, you have Alex, who's this kid that's almost like an anarchist. You know, he wants to take matters into his own hands. He's going to solve his problems with violence. He
doesn't want to cause.
Yeah. I mean, whatever it takes, he's going to do. And it's very seductive, especially for a young person to think like that. But of course, there are great consequences. And I guess what I want the reader to think about is there some middle ground there? You know, is there something in between, like going all in with your town, or, you know, completely rebelling? Like, can we find some middle ground that's healthy?
Mm. You mentioned your reader. These are young readers, right? What's the age you're thinking?
I don't really think about, you know, the age of my I just try to tell a good story. And to be honest, many adults read these books, too. But yeah. I'm sure that my publisher would probably say like 10th grade through 12th grade is
okay.
The target market.
Well, so I'm thinking, really? The amount of sex that these kids have, the amount of discussion on the part of the girls, Nanette's friends alert here now to parents who might be listening. Let's just give a couple seconds if someone feels they need to turn the dial. But oral sex, the amount of discussions by the girls, for instance, of male body parts, the boys who use the girls. Really? It just seems like a lot.
Well, I think if you want to tell the truth, you have to tell the truth. I remember very clearly when I was teaching, there was a first year teacher that was teaching next to me. In the middle of one of my lessons, she knocked on the door and she was very upset. And I went outside in the hallway and I said, "What's wrong?" And she said, "I'm reading through these essays and all of these kids are having sex and they're writing about it in the most graphic ways." And I said, "Well, they must really trust you because they're telling the truth." When I've talked with young people, they have one face that they'll put on for the people who don't want to hear about those things. And they're very good at it. And I don't think the book glorifies sex in any way.
No.
In fact, I think it shows, you know, that there are really, you know, dark consequences to kids having sex before thinking it out. You know, I don't think it vilifies sex either. And I think people, you know, especially in suburbia, could do well to have more frank conversations about sex.
Yeah. Matthew Quick, you talk about some of the parallels with your own life. You were an English teacher. You've got this fictional author who's not you, but still I'm wondering if through him, you're also trying to do something else with this book for young people. He keeps sending the kids off on other literary journeys. You know, read Bukowski, Antigone, Dorian Gray, or even the music of Pat Benatar, you know, makes its way in.
Yeah, I mean, I think the poetry and, you know, literature and music for me was always, as a teen and as an adult, it was a place where I could go to get some answers, to get some truth, you know, to have dialogue in a way that was not possible with the people in my real life.
Well, and here's another passage. You have your character, Booker, the teacher, say, "Pablo Neruda said it better than I can. Tonight I can write. Read that poem if you haven't already. You'll fall in love with Neruda and wish you were 18 when he was, that you knew him in Chile a long time ago." I'm betting that your hope is that just like when kids are on a website, they'll click on through somewhere and look for that and read that.
Pablo Neruda is a fantastic poet. You know, I hope they read tons of things, you know, not just what's in my book. I hope they read my book. I hope they read lots of books. You know, Kurt Vonnegut's one of my heroes, and I've heard him described as a gateway drug for reading. I think that many of the authors that I mentioned throughout the book, if those things hook kids and get them reading, or if my book hooks them and gets them reading and asking questions, like, that's beautiful. I just hope that they'll continue.
That's Matthew Quick. His new book is Every Exquisite Thing. It comes out this week. Matthew, thank you so much.
Hey, it was an absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Okay. And here's some more of that Neruda poem. Tonight I can write the saddest lines. I no longer love her, that's certain, but how I loved her. My voice tried to find the wind to touch her hearing. I no longer love her, that's certain, but maybe I love her. Love is so short. Forgetting is so long. Ah, great for teens and a great book.